You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells.
This week's rugby story begins at the famous Blackbrook Royals and is enhanced by St Helens. A winger centre that could also play in the halves was released at an academy level, which allowed him to experience senior amateur rugby league and give him that fire to succeed another way. An unorthodox route to professional rugby league, but what a journey so far for this great lad. A trial at Rochdale after 8 months not playing was taken with both hands, and he took a mile, not an inch. Excelling at a good club like Rochdale prompted clubs to act, and his career has since included Barrow Raiders, Widnes Vikings and currently Salford Red Devils, where he represented England Knights. Ladies and gents, Mr. Dion Cross.
Follow, like, share, subscribe and endorse us via Facebook, Trot the Egging, Twitter, @TrotTheEgging/@JohnHeth, Instagram, @Trot_D_Egg_In, YouTube, Trot the Egging, LinkedIn, John Hetherington, and Spotify, Trot the Egging. Dion, how have you been?
Yeah, been good, mate. Not too bad, just, you know, enjoying the off-season now. Got a couple of weeks off before into the dreaded pre-season again.
Don't tell everyone you have time off, mate.
I know you're not allowed it,
you've
are
been ridiculed, no.
Not allowed time off.
No, not you stars, mate. So, before we get into your rugby story, Dion, where was home for you, mate, and who lived at home with you growing up?
Home for me was in Haydock, so I live in Haydock in St Helens. So, lived with parents, and then obviously parents separated at a young age. So, my dad only moved around the corner to where my grandparents live, and then just lived at home, really, with my mum and my little sister as well. So, yeah, that was us growing up.
Yeah. Mate, if you don't mind me asking, how did you find that as a young lad? Was
sport
like a bit of a get out?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was tough because obviously it was still, can't remember how old I was at the time, but I think, you know, the good thing was I knew I had my dad round the corner as well. So I'd see him every day. And then obviously I'd still obviously be living at home as well. But yeah, that sports, that, you know, like that get away from home, isn't it? And it's probably the same for a lot of other young people as well. You know, you just go and play rugby or your football. You can switch off from that home life and just go out and enjoy it.
Yeah. Mate, where was your first club and how was you introduced to rugby?
So me mum and dad actually took me down to Blackbrook in St Helens. So Blackbrook Royals there. And, you know, I just turned up, did a couple of sessions and then, you know, took to it and enjoyed it then, really. Because I tried a few things like football and that, but it just worked for me. And then they went, oh, we'll take you down, go and try this rugby out. And then, yeah, sort of never looked back since.
Yeah. And was that part of the curriculum at junior school, mate? Was that how old was you? So was you at junior school?
I was nine. So yeah, I was still at junior school. So you like junior school, they cover a lot of things, don't they? And then obviously they do tag rugby. And then even just like playing that and that. So that was us really, like every day as well at school, you're always playing rugby and that. And I think because you come from St Helens as well, it's just rugby, isn't it, really?
Imagine so, mate. Yeah, like growing up, Blackbrook's one of them premier teams, mate, innit? So you always have a target on you, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Right. So yeah, no, great club, Blackbrook. And sort of went through, you know, I've never been to any other club, amateur club, just stayed at Blackbrook right from under nines up to open age.
Right, so is there a class picture somewhere of the sleeve down
there? Yeah, well, your shirts are all six times too big.
They might have been for you. I was one of the fat kids, mate. I was all right with that old stag kit and that.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to grow into it, haven't you? It's got to last you six
you
seasons,
have to.
That shirt.
No, but you used to get the hand-me-downs or something.
Yeah, that's got to do the next lot when they come.
So was town team a thing for you, Dion? Had you developed enough to look at that level at a young age?
Yeah, so I think started maybe under 11s, under 12s, they had a thing called service area. St Helens, so they pick like, you know, some of the, you know, the decent kids who they seen potential in, I think. I couldn't remember how it really worked. I think they just contacted some of the amateur clubs and said, look, we want this guy, this lad to come down to service her. And it's just like training, really. You go every Monday down to Knowsley Road and you just like, you probably get like a better standard of coaching rather than having like one of the kids' dads coaching you. You know, you're getting like decent coaches, you know, and just developing your skills that way. And it was sort of like a little pathway that onto you're in the shop window then, really, for a scholarship when you turn 13, 14. So yeah, I always remember that. My dad taking me every Monday night down to Knowsley Road, and you do an hour, 2 hours there, you know, training. And especially as a when you was a Saints fan as a kid as well, and you're training at, you know, outside Knowsley Road. And then sometimes we got to go on the pitch as well. That was good. So yeah, I remember that.
I imagine you do. It's like the Holy Grail, isn't it, for a local
Yeah.
lad. Like, I'm from Widnes, so like training at the Widnes ground would have been amazing. Like a bit
Yeah.
like you. No, so do you know when you're rocking up then, mate? Are you just simply taking rugby as it comes at that age? Would it have bothered you whether you'd have got in service earlier or not?
I reckon it probably would have done a little bit, because maybe if you've seen all your other mates there getting picked, then you're like, oh, I want to get picked to go and, you know, go and train there at Saints, and you know, you get your little Saints shirt or kit or whatever, get that training kit. So yeah, I reckon that would have drove me. Definitely. And I remember as I started getting older and they started giving scholarships out then, and I remember two of the lads who played for us at Blackbrook. He must have been about under 14s at the time, and them two got scholarships, and I didn't get one at the time. I was like, oh, I want to get a scholarship, and that was after the service sort of phased out. They started giving the scholarships out then, and yeah, I didn't get one at the time, and I was like, oh, I want to get one. So I remember like going running every night, training, you know, by myself over the field, like the local park and stuff, and you just sort of
Even at that
motivated to
age,
try
mate,
and get one. Yeah, even at like, yeah, 12, 13, I'd just started high school. And yeah, that sort of motivated me a little bit, because I was like, that's what I want to do, just want to play rugby, and hopefully, you know, go and play at Saints.
No, it's something. It's when you think, mate, it's quite intense for a young lad, isn't it, or a young girl
Yeah.
these days, because the ladies' game's taken off. But do you think, I'll rewind in a minute, but do you think like the scholarship getting just like given out at 14's a bit young? Because did service earlier stop for you? Did it like, has it stopped
Yeah, so I
altogether?
think
You're a bit
service
younger than
early
me, I think.
usually, yeah, so service early sort of finished. So you probably do, I think it was like under 11s, under 12s, under 13s service early, and then from like 14s to 16s was your scholarship age then. But I think it is a little bit too young. The only good thing about it is you're getting that better development of coaching. But then you sort of like 16, you get lads who develop at 20, or you get lads who develop at like 16. Like there was guys who I was playing with at 14, 15, like full beards and like fully grown blokes at
Mortgages.
14. Yeah, absolute running through teams. But then come 18, 19, everyone's caught up to him then. So, but yeah, the scholarships and the service area was good in that sense, because you're getting that better coaching, aren't you? Rather than, like I said before, having some lad's dad or mum coaching you. You know, you're getting that better standard of coaching, so, and then it pays off on a Sunday morning, then you can see the difference.
Was mate. So how was your transition into high school? How did you find that, mate? Did rugby help with that?
Yeah, rugby helped with that. It probably helped. I went to school in Ashton, in Wigan, Birchall. I went to, so all my mates from literally primary school went straight over to the high school, so we all went together. Because they had siblings and that, they had like older brothers and sisters who went that school, so I sort of just tagged along and followed them, really. So the transition was good, but then when you come into high school, it's like full contact rugby. So then you sort of used to it, where all the others like, oh, I don't fancy this, but the lads who've obviously played rugby outside of school, it's like, yeah, you can't wait, go and smash some.
Can't wait. Well,
Yeah,
the war's changed since you've got a bit
yeah.
older as well,
Oh,
mate, haven't it?
really?
So,
Really?
well,
So they
it was
don't
like
do
there was
contact anymore?
no, they do, but I mean, like, you know, like the arms wrapping, we didn't
Yeah,
really
yeah.
have to. You might have had to, but my arm, like 33, mate. So, when we were younger, if a shot was on, it was off, but
Yeah.
it's changed, hasn't it? But
Yeah.
no, it's so. Do you know when you went into high school, mate? Did the Was it just simply rugby league, or did they introduce rugby union to it out like that?
It was rugby league. It was all rugby league, especially with it being a school in Wigan as well. It was just all rugby league. But a lot of football as well, especially. So there was a school next door, Edmund Harris Smith's, but they was big on rugby, where our school was big on football, and we didn't really have many like lads who played rugby. Everyone played football, which was weird. So when we used to have our like school team, rugby league team, we'd have like three or four of us who play rugby, and then all the rest would be footballers.
And a winger that
So
plays up front.
yeah, so they'd be fast. They'd be fast and they can kick a ball, but anything else is like they didn't want tackle, they didn't
So,
want no.
was that frustrating, mate, or did it just heighten the Sunday club game for you and make it a bit more important younger?
Yeah, it was probably like it's a little bit at times you're frustrated because obviously you're going playing these games after school and like obviously you're not winning as many because there's not a not compared to the other schools who've got 12, 13 lads who all play rugby outside of school, and we only had like I said three or four of us maybe from what I can remember off the top of my head. And yeah, it was a bit frustrating, but to be honest, I just enjoyed it. Just enjoyed just like having a laugh with your mates, and yeah. So and then I had a scholarship when I got into year 10. It might have been year 10, and I was just sort of like just playing to enjoy that then, because I know like away from the school side of it gets a little bit more serious then. So yeah, just
Wish you
like
were
sort of just
wise
like
enough to
enjoy.
see it like that, Dion, weren't you?
Yeah, just like you just go out, have a laugh with your mates and relax. And it probably gives you that confidence when you're playing in them school games because you know, like, oh, well, I've got a scholarship and that. And not to sound arrogant, but you feel like you've got a bit more confidence in yourself then, and you back yourself a bit more.
So, with only 4 years playing outside of school, did you four have like the spine position? So, for viewers or listeners, it'd be a full back, your half back's hooker or 13, wouldn't it? So,
Yeah,
would you
pretty
use like the
much, yeah.
focal point?
So I was half back at school, but I've been playing at wing since.
I'm gonna
So
say it's mad.
yeah. So you'd be running all these moves and kicking and everything, and you'd be like, but you'd never do that when you're playing at your club or thing. So yeah, so that's what I mean. It was just a bit of a laugh, really. And like I said, I enjoyed it. We all had a good laugh.
So did it like make you want to play half, or was you more than happy to play in wing and centre,
Yeah,
which we'll
probably
touch
more
on
than
in a
that.
bit?
Yeah, probably more happy to play on the wing. And I think I remember playing. I think I played a couple of games at half back at under 18s at Blackbrook. So when I got released from scholarship when I went back to Blackbrook playing at 18s and played a few games at half and that, but it was more just get the ball and run. Didn't do any kicking or anything.
So, as are you like, so 14, 15, mate, is when like your club game becomes more about winning and than just fun, isn't it? Obviously, fun's a big part, mate, but it's when we get like divisionalized, so you get your Premier Division One, Division Two, don't you? So, when you're going back to your club, do you see the game differently because you've had a spell at half back and that? Are you able to understand your role at club more?
Yeah, probably. I probably do more now at the position I'm playing this moment in time, but yeah, probably trying to think back to when I was playing at club level as a kid. It does sort of change because you can understand like what he's thinking, what he's going to be doing, and it does help you in that role. But I think I remember I got spelled a few times centre wing, half back, full back, so just playing like just a mixed roles really at club level.
It's a Mr. Hybrid.
I know, Mr. Everything.
But it does open your eyes, mate, don't it? Like with and without the ball, both sides of the ball, like it can just create something in front of you that, no offense, if you stay hug you top line, you probably wouldn't see. But because you've been able to birdie round, mate, you can find weaknesses and turn backs and can't you fatigue?
Yeah,
Right,
and I
so
think playing in.
what was go on, sorry,
Sorry,
mate.
I think playing in all them positions as well sort of helps your development that little bit as you get older, because then you be well, I have played here, so I could probably have another go at doing that because I've played it before at that club level. So yeah, so sometimes utility's like a good option because you've more chance of playing really as well, haven't you?
Yeah, you have, mate, and on the other hand, mate, it can hold you back, can't it? because you can never fully settle if they're going to float you around the spine to the touchline. Now. No, but I agree. Like we both know Ackle, it's working for Ackle, isn't it? He's stepping in at hook and he's stepping in the halves a bit at fullback.
Yeah.
So, any rep stuff then, mate, growing up?
So the rep stuff started coming. So after the scholarships at 15 and 16, and then I got released obviously from Saints when I was 16, and Lancashire started coming in then. So I never really heard about it, and I remember clubs were getting contacted to send lads down for trials for Lancashire. So I remember us getting a message saying, "Oh, if any of your children want to go and have a trial for Lancashire, here's the time and date." So I think there was only me and maybe three or four other kids who we went down, and I was lucky enough to be selected for that. So I played for Lancashire at under 17s, Lancashire at under 18s, and then I went on and played, obviously at Open Age, played Lancashire for 2 years at Open Age before I moved on to the semi-pro.
Right. Just going back a little bit, and you're a Saints kid, you follow Saints, you've done the service earlier, like you said, pathway. Did you play many games at scholarship, mate, or was it just again a little bit better training again?
Yeah, so under 15 scholarship, I was playing on the wing at Blackbrook, and they put me on the wing at Saints scholarship as well. So yeah, so I played pretty much. I played every game. We only had 5 games at scholarship, so you train over. I think it started around about October, November time. You train up until February, March, and then you'd only have 5 games, and then that'd be it. Then that'd be your season. So it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah, so it's not even like a proper season. You just play 5 games. So your games would be Warrington, Wigan, you'd play Widnes, and then you'd play like Cumbria and maybe Leeds. Yeah, we played Leeds, we did, yeah, because I remember playing at Headingley. So that was at under 15s, and then same for under 16s, you'd only play 5 games of each.
Pre-season though, don't you? Just for
it's a pre-season for 5 games, yeah. So I remember we had Johnny Lomax's daddy and coaching us, and Mike Bennett at 15s. And then at the under 16s, we had Eric Frodsham and Tommy Martin. So, yeah, we had some ex-players there, which was good, coaching us. And down at the Carly setup as well, where Saints first team obviously based as well. So, yeah, that was good. So we got used the gym, used their facilities, and used the training field as well. So, yeah, so that was good. That was twice a week, Monday, Wednesday. So you balanced that. Obviously, you'd finish school and you'd be straight to training then pretty much all night.
Virtually every night, mate, I imagine. And it's a Tuesday, Thursday's club rugby, isn't it? Is that the same for you?
Yeah, and then you'd play Saturday scholarship if you had the game, and then Sunday you'd play at your club level as well, so you didn't have Friday, really.
It's when you could that, isn't it? When you could bounce back, mate, fresh.
Yeah, no, fresh. No chance now.
No, mate. It's mad to think, like even they weren't niggles as a kid, but like your big knocks and stuff, you just play the next day, and not a chance you'd be allowed. That was there. So, you know, when that chat come around, mate, when they were going to release you, how does that work? Did he call you in with either your mum or dad, and they sit you down and stuff? Yeah. Can you remember much about it?
Yeah, so it's usually... So it was the under-16s, and then they changed the format then, the final year of scholarship I was playing. It used to be under-18s, under-20s, and then you go on to first team if you were going up. But they just merged the two together and called it an under-19s academy, which it's, I think it still is now, isn't it? So, so they called us in, and then you'd basically, you come in, sit with your parents. So my mum and dad came along, and then you'd be sat with two of like the head of performance. So they wouldn't be your coaches, they'd be the ones like above that, who oversee the full scholarship programme. And they just basically said, "Look, we've got nothing for you. We've got nothing to give to you due to like the 18s and 20s being broken up, and it's just being one 19 squad. We've got lads dropping down, we've got lads coming up, so the pretty much all the contracts had been given out. But they just said, just keep working on your game, and you know, we'll keep our eye on you." So I was devastated at the time. I was like, I can't believe it, gutted, and played every game, and just that was it then, really. You sort of get pushed out. It's just like go back to your club level and just keep playing at Blackbrook, basically. And if you're good enough, we might pick you up one day. So that was pretty much it, really. So
I
I was
imagine a
like,
bit like even as a kid, I was like out of mind, daunting, isn't it?
Definitely. And you've just finished school. So then you're thinking as well, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to college? Do you want to get a job? That sort of thing. Then you've got that as well, where you've just been told basically you're not getting a scholarship. So, sorry, an academy contract. So, yeah, gutted, really.
You should have said, I've just been running up Chirdley for 4 years on my bill on Chirdley Park. You've just said no.
I know, I'm gutted. But I think that sort of spurred
Not
me on as well. Definitely.
it's like your journey's unique, mate, isn't it? And it's all
Yeah.
part of your journey and your rugby story.
Yeah.
So it's everything happens for a reason, mate. And you're
Yeah, that's what I
finding your
always
way
say,
there, aren't
basically.
you? So
Yeah.
what happens then, mate? What route do you go down off the field? And did he help you find another club, mate? Did other clubs know about your situation or?
Do you know what? Do you know what? I'm not 100% sure on it. To be honest, I should imagine other clubs because I remember. So when you turn 16, that crucial period. So say that you was obviously your scholarship games are finished. Other clubs could ring you around then. So I don't know how they get hold of your number. Like I never had a phone call from any other club, but I know like I used to play. Matty Whitley was my centre at Saints, so I'd be on the wing, and then Matty was my centre. So he said, oh, I've got a call off Widnes, so I've got a contract through off them. I'm going playing for them, and a couple of lads went like other clubs. So yeah, so but I never had a phone call from, like I said, any other club. It was just literally for me, it was just back to Blackbrook and just playing your club level there. So I
Because
finished
you
out the
wouldn't answer
16
without
season.
numbers, that.
Yeah, that'd be my mum,
Imagine if it's that,
that. Yeah, unknown number. Put it down straight away.
blank.
So
No,
yeah, so I
it's.
think that's how it worked.
No, it's. I know. Speaking of other people, mate, I don't know. Like I said, you're a bit younger than me, so it might have changed. But you used to be able to make a pitch for you, didn't you, at a certain age, and you could
Yeah.
possibly speak to him. And but it's like at that age, mate, you don't think about playing for anyone else. I don't imagine, do you?
No, no,
And
no,
you
you
don't
don't
think of
really.
agents and that,
Yeah,
it's too
yeah.
serious, really.
Yeah, exactly. I was never really aware of an agent until probably later on when I was playing at Rochdale, like the back end of the season at Rochdale, when it was like contract time, and I got put onto an agent there. But yeah, other than that, this like 16, you never really hear of agents or other pathways away from like your hometown club where you're
Yeah,
based.
you don't. That's
So
a good point, that.
yeah, you never hear about, well, there's always these options. It's just literally, right, that's it. Go back to playing at Blackbrook, and if you're good enough, we might pick you up again.
And
So
that, and like you see, you didn't really, no disrespect to anyone, but you didn't really have help with the next phase, did you? You just went back and
yeah, that
rebuilt
was it.
yourself, basically.
Yeah, that was it really, yeah.
So what avenue did you go down off the field, mate? So you've gone back to Blackbrook at this point, haven't you?
Yeah. So I was always big into sports, like love sport. So I went into college then. So I left school, still playing at Blackbrook. And then it jumped from 16s and it jumped straight up to under 18s then. So I was playing. So I just started at St. Helens College doing like a sports leadership course. So it was like sports coaching. So I did that for 12 months, alongside playing at Blackbrook under 18s at the time. So I had a season there at Blackbrook under 18s, along with obviously being at college as well.
Right. Even as a young lad, mate, you're in these standard markers, aren't you? So how did you
Yeah.
find going from club rugby to rep stuff back? And was it a big jump when you left Saints to go back to Blackbrook at 18? Because you're probably already playing against 18-year-olds anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, so you start noticing a bit of a difference then, because I'm probably one of the youngest out of my age group. So I've come from, I think it was only 17, you're playing against like 18-year-old lads. So they start like developing. So lads are going to gym more than that, and they're all on the protein and stuff, aren't they? So they're massive. Coming up against lads with full beards. I'm still trying to get a beard now, but you're coming up against men then, aren't you? Like young men. Yeah, so
Yeah.
you're coming up against some big lads, and you can see, like, athletically, they're better. And so yeah, so that was tough. But to be honest, at 18s, like, that was probably my best year I've had at, like, amateur level. Just and then I played at Lancashire, and then I had a good season at Lancashire. And I was lucky enough to get picked for the Community Lions as well. So
Okay.
we had a two test series against Wales. But it was like Wales Academy. It worked with, like, the English Lions was more like a community game, so it was all amateur players. But the Wales and the Scotland team was built on, like, the academy. So, like, some Morgan Knowles and that was playing. You're playing against Morgan Knowles
Yeah.
and that for Wales. So yeah, so that was good. That was a good experience. I enjoyed that. And then played half back in them games, but wasn't really an half back. I was just
Yeah.
sort of get the ball and run. So and then I think that was the end of my half back days then, I think.
So, not being rude and that, mate, when you've been released from Saints, do you lose a bit of ambition or do you get more eager? Would you have just been happy staying at Blackrock, do you think?
To be honest, like, my ambition, I was gone, I was gutted. But I think in the back of my mind, with what Sage said, we'll keep looking at you. I think that sort of, like, put something in the back of my head saying, well, they must be still interested here. They must be still. So that sort of spurred me
Yeah.
on then, and kept me training. So I remember training, going to college, and then I'd be training over the field, doing me running and going to the gym. I started getting a gym membership then, because I was, like, over 16, so I started going to the gym, and doing a bit of that. So yeah, and then training, like, twice a week at Blackbrook. So yeah, that did spur me on, to be fair. And then when I started getting these, like, Lancashire and English Lions, I started thinking, well, to be honest, I'm probably getting more opportunities now than what these lads are at their academy games.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying
So.
it, mate, because that opportunity wouldn't have been there if you were attached, would it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it
Yeah.
was probably, and then I think when it started getting to open age, then you start, like, going on tours and stuff, South Africa and Canada as well had that opportunity and stuff as well. So yeah, there's more to rugby than just obviously playing for your scholarship and getting that academy and then through to first team. There's always options outside of the professional game as well, which is good.
And that's what hopefully we try and get across to viewers and listeners, mate, that whether you make it pro or not, it's not the be all and end all, is it? Like,
No,
it
no.
opens doors socially for work,
Yeah.
friendships, tours. Like, you see the world, mate, playing amateur rugby, can't you?
Yeah,
If
definitely. Yeah.
you hit the right times.
Yeah.
Right, so when you're playing at Lancashire and that, mate, and you're going through again the standard tiers, the tier. How are you seeing? How's the game of a winger changed? Or was it always like as active as it is now when you were growing up?
Yeah, so sort of the role as a winger, back when I was playing at, like, Lancashire and stuff, you'd obviously, most of the lads who were playing in that squad had already been released from scholarship, so you're playing with, like, decent lads, like, the decent players. So you start getting a bit more ball as a winger. But at the time, I think as a winger as well, you see him now, like Tommy Makinson and players like coming in, taking them yardage carries and trying to get the team on the front foot and build some momentum and getting the team out their own half. But at the time, I still didn't fully understand that winger role. So it was just really just stood up wing, wait for the ball, score a try, and catch the kicks out last and just run it back. But that would be it. Then you do. I still didn't fully understand it. So I was probably, more of a late developer compared to, like, some of them who were, like, more advanced. I was just, like, trying to get ball all the time. And that's why I sort of ended up playing half back up
Right.
until under 18s, just try and get my hands on the ball in the middle a bit more.
Be involved. Yeah, no, because
Yeah.
I won't lie, mate, coming through, I was probably at the start of the transition when you would come in and do an exit set for us. So
Yeah.
you'd return like a good defensive set, basically. So you'd do your first or second scoop. Like, that's what the wingers were
Yeah,
doing when
yeah.
I was playing. And then, like you
Yeah.
said, you were there to finish then. But
Yeah.
the role's definitely changed, hasn't it?
Yeah,
So
it has,
were
yeah.
you someone that could be a patient, mate, and wait for your opportunity to come, or did you go and seek it? Did you need an early touch?
Yeah, probably just I was
Yeah.
just I'd be I think I was more that person who was probably a bit too nice, just be patient and just stand there. But then as I started getting to 18s, I was like, no, I'm going and getting this ball here. I'm going, like, making something happen, because otherwise I could be stood there all day and never see the ball, really. So yeah, I think that's why they sort of put me into that halfback, so I could get my hands on the ball a bit more, and I had that more of a running game with a few passes as well, but never really passed, just run. So I started being a bit more greedier then, so I started understanding, you know, these lads at scholarship, I noticed, because they all wanted contracts, they just started being greedy. It's like, well, I'm in the shop window here. You just got to be selfish. So I think I sort of took that, Brian, he learned at 18s. So it was probably a year too late for me to start learning. So what I knew now at 18s, I wish I knew when I was 15 and 16. But like I said, I was
maturity, Dion, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah, that's it. So I started obviously getting that maturity through college and just getting your hands on the ball as much as you can. And then when I started scoring a few tries and getting these reps, it builds that confidence for me then. So yeah, that's when I started, you know, just going in, trying to get the ball as much as I can.
Is that when, do you think, verbally, you started impacting a game as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, probably, more verbally as well, speaking to your teammates and stuff. And like I said, because you'd played at, you know, a scholarship compared to some of your other teammates, you know, you feel like you can be a bit more of a leader as well around the park.
Yeah, because we've all played with that one that'll talk for the sake of talking, mate, haven't we? But if one person, for youngsters out there, one person talks, if you're on your ass sort of thing, you react to that. You might not say it, but you'll show it, won't you, mate?
And, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right, so when these tours come around then, mate, did you head to Canada and that, did you? And what's the process?
Yeah, well, I think, I remember, so when was a Blackburn 18 season had just finished, and a lot of the boys just packed in. You get to 18 and it's like, right, get a girlfriend, go out drinking every Saturday night.
Yeah.
And all lads, you know, you start getting a little job on side and it's like, right, can't wait for Saturday. I've done big job. Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday night sometimes. So all the boys are on that. But I was still in college at the time. I didn't have a job and I didn't want to be tapping my mum up for 30, 40 quid for go out round town. So, but I just still had that mindset of like, well, I just want to still give it a good go. I can go out drinking, you know, when I finish playing rugby or whatever. But so I remember getting a call off Mark Lee, who was the Blackbrook coach, who used to play for Salford, actually, which is funny. So Mark Lee gave me a call up and said, I've got a few phone numbers from your under 18s. Would you be interested in coming down to the open age? We've seen what you can do. We'd be happy to have you. So I was like, yeah, I'll come down. And ended up going down and trained. There was about 30 lads at the time then at Blackbrook, and we had a great setup. And a lot of them were older. A lot of them were like late 20s, early 30s. And then there was me coming in at 18. I was the youngest lad. None of the other 18s followed either. So it was just like, just me on my own. And then probably, I don't know, I loved it. I loved every minute of it all the age, because, like I said, you'd play on a Saturday and then you'd be all in the pub on a Saturday night, then having a beer and just like that team social. So it was great, mate. It was lovely, like really good. And then obviously at the end of that year, they had Lancashire come round again. Mark Lee was the coach of the Lancashire Open Age, so that I was pretty much in with it there. So I pretty much got selected from that. And like I said, the tour started coming round then for Great Britain again. So I was lucky enough to get that opportunity. But just with work commitments as well, I'd have had to take something like 2 week unpaid just to go to Canada and play these games. So unfortunately, I didn't end up going. I didn't end up going just due to like work commitments and stuff at the time.
And it takes a lot of time because you have to fundraise and trainings are on Sundays.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously you're playing at Blackbrook Open Age as well. It was you'd have to pay, I think it was a £50 signing on fee at the start of the season, and then you'd have to pay for your training kit. Then you'd have to pay a fiver a game. So
your subs.
You're getting your head taken off on a Saturday, but you have to pay a fiver.
Are you paying for the pleasure?
You get filled in by these bricklayers who've just done a week's graft, and they're just dead angry. They just want to take your head off, and you're paying a fiver to get your head taken off. So
for the
it was great. So that was the 20, that was the 2016. Quick. Yeah, I know. At least I had a bit of footwork, so I could get myself out of trouble. But yeah, I've had it a few times playing fullback as well at the time, so I've sort of had all them collisions and that, just on the kit returns and stuff, you get someone flying out trying to take your head off.
I know, and again, we talk about positional awareness and that, mate. It's a whole new view of the game as well out back there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's tough, and I think probably not the most aggressive player at the time and stuff. And yeah, that definitely toughened me up for like my transition into the semi-pro and professional game then. Because you're playing against big men, and at the time, like in the professional game now, you get drug tested, but at part time you don't get drugs, so these lads who go to the gym and they're smashing the training, and then they can't wait to come and take your head off.
Angry fellas.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like when you're floating around, mate, and you're getting looked at for these rep stuff, what are you like in a new changing room? Do you fit in quite easy, mate? Are you a bit shy at first? How'd you find it?
I think so. When I got selected for Lancashire, I was probably one of the youngest. Again, I was only 17, 18 at the time, and when you come here, I was one of the youngest compared to all the other lads. So I was a bit nervous. So I was like, I remember like on the way to train, I'd be messaging like couple of the other lads from Blackbrook who'd be going training. I'd be like, are you going training tonight? You're going to be there. Just so I know I've got like sort of familiar face there.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I'm just stood at the side on my own. But then I can't remember my first training session, but I remember when we used to train up at Lee Sports Village on the AstroTurf there. So I remember obviously turning up to the first session and like everyone stood with like their own mates who's in the group and turned up and that. But then everyone like just got together, and like I said, I still speak to some of the lads now who I play with from other clubs at Lancashire and that. So, yeah, it was good straight from, like, everyone just come together and we all had, like, a good laugh and that. So, no, it was really good.
Yeah, it's good, mate, because I weren't actually asked to go, but I went Lancashire under-20s, like, a camp thing in Tilsley. And, mate, they just sat us on a, like, us three witness lads, couple lads from Fleetwood, and someone else just sat us on a table there in our club gear.
Really?
And they all mingled in the Lanc stuff, knowing each other. Having all the good grub, and I was like, oh, I've wasted a bit of time here. I only went for stash and I didn't get any. I'd write off.
Oh,
so
that's what it happens.
And that's it, at least, like, in hindsight, I actually travelled with two lads from Witness, so I had a bit of, like, a comfort sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where you're having to see that there, weren't you? Yeah. So when did the semi-pro stuff come, mate, and how did that happen?
So I played open age 2016, 2017, and we must have been about 2017. We still had all our same squad from 2016 at Blackbrook, but then a lot of the boys, obviously, getting older, we had a few injuries then, so we started hitting a couple of lads with injuries. And then I ended up getting injured. I was playing back row this game for some reason. Because one of the lads, Greg Ailey, he'd done his knee, I think. So he was out, like he said, he's retiring. And they went, we've got no back rowers, Dion. Do you mind playing? So I was like, yeah, I'll play. I was 2 minutes in and bang, getting tackled off an half back as well. I ended up snapping my AC joint. So I completely did my shoulder. And I just felt it go straight away. And I was like, oh, but I didn't even know what it was. It was just like burning. And I was like, I've been, like, touch wood, I've been, like, pretty lucky, like, any serious injuries, and this probably been my more serious one. So I remember getting brought off, and there was, like, Ant Walker was the coach at the time, who he was, like, he was playing at Wakefield, but he was coaching us on a Saturday. And he's like, it's just a stinger. And then when, obviously, I took my shirt off and my collarbone was, like, nearly touching my ear, he was, like, ping right up. was like, oh God, straight to thingy X-ray, and then I'd go and have an operation. So that was my season done. So I was gutted. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be like, I still want to keep being a professional rugby player. I want to be like in the shop window. And like I said, I weren't playing at the time. I was gutted, having time off work, so I was like losing money there because I was injured.
I was gonna say that's what people don't get, isn't it? When you've filtered down the pyramid, mate, you've got to do both, haven't you?
And then it was just, I think it was just after Christmas. I think it was the week after New Year, and I've not even played a game since May in 2017. This was January 2018, and Ant Walker rung me up one night. It was a Thursday night, it was, and he said, Rochdale Hornets, he said, they're in championship at the moment. He said, they've just had loads of pay cuts due to the money and that. I don't know what quite happened, he said, but a lot of lads have left, gone to other clubs. The club's got no money, really, to pay the lads the contracts, what they was having. So I think the owners walked out. They need some players for Saturday. He said, would you be interested? So I was like, he said, it'll be just a try. It's just a friendly game. He said, but like you're in the shop window, and if you play well, then you might get a contract. So I was like, yeah, definitely, I'll play. I'll play. I said, who are they playing? So he's like, oh, they've got Warrington Wolves on Saturday afternoon at Rochdale. So I was like, they're like, first team Warrington. He was like, yeah. I said, mate, I've not played for about 8 months here. First game back as well. So I'd not even played at Blackbrook. I'd not even trained because over Christmas they didn't train at all. So I'd not even trained or anything. And it was just like, just thrown in straight away at Rochdale. And
A bit of best
started at
way, though, wasn't it?
so I ended
Yeah.
up starting that game, and like I said, I played the full game. But yeah, that was remember turning up, and literally I think Warrington, it was their last friendly maybe, or before the start of the Super League season, so they played like all big guns. So like on my side,
Welcome back.
Bryson Goodwin, who just come from South Sydney Rabbitohs, just won a grand final up against me from Blackbrook Openage.
I've had eight
And I
months
was
off.
like, oh my God, one's had 8 months off, the other's just killed it at
Credit.
NRL. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
No,
playing up against them, it was mad. It was mad, yeah.
I bet it was. But what a mad like opportunity that you just simply couldn't refuse, mate, could you?
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. And I remember Ant saying to me at the time on the phone, he said, if you don't want, he said, the training tomorrow night, like a captain's run on Friday night before they play Saturday. He said, if you don't want to go down because you're on your own, he said, we'll go down next week. Because he was helping out at the time because he'd had an injury, like a brain injury. So he had to retire temporary from rugby league. So he was doing some assistant coaching jobs down at Rochdale. And he sort of just put a good word in for me, really. And he was like, oh, you can wait till next week. And I was like, no, mate, I'll go down on my own. And I just went down on
Yeah,
my
no,
own.
fair play. Yeah,
Yeah, I just went
he was
down on
only
my own
after 20%,
and trained.
weren't
Yeah, that's
he?
it. He's on commission.
Yeah. So, do you know, so again, mate, that's like a changing room, you know, nothing about, don't know systems. So, are
No.
you just playing off instinct? And how did you find it?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just like I went in and met the coach, Alan Killshaw, on the day, on the training day, training night, and he just said to me, he said, you're gonna be playing this weekend. I'm just gonna throw you in at centre. He said it's just a friendly, and then we'll just see how you go from there. And yeah, it was pretty much off instinct. But I just went back to when I was playing at open age, and I was like, I just got to get my hands on the ball as much as I can. Just like I'm in the shop window here, so like that's where it started maturing. It's probably at Saints. I would have just when I was at scholarship, and I would have just stood on the in the centre and just waited for the ball. But I was like, right, I'm just getting the ball. So like every set, then just coming in, taking a carry, just doing what I can for the team, pretty much. And I think because I'd played open age as well, I had that like been roughed up a bit, and you're a bit more tougher now. So I think that helped me then in that transition from like what I said before. So a lot more aggressive, a lot more tougher on like when you're playing, because you're thinking, well, these lads haven't been getting their heads taken off for a fiver a week. So you're
That's
just
it,
like
though, isn't
easing
it?
it. Took, yeah. So it toughened me up, that open age then. So it
Yeah.
toughened me up. So like there's big lads there, but I'm like, I've played against bigger lads at open age, but these are just more athletic and skillful.
So when you're sat under your peg, mate, at full time, for one, are you blowing out your ass? I'd say,
yeah,
is it just
we
a
give
bit
him
of
a
a
game as
bizarre
well,
feeling?
actually.
Yeah, did
Yeah, we
you?
give him a bit of a game. Yeah, I think it finished off 24-12. We scored, I think it was winning 12-6 maybe at half time. I can't 100% remember, but we give him a game, to be fair. And then second half, obviously, that full time mentality just broke us down really, and they'll get a couple of tries.
That's how it'll come, mate, on the hour mark, won't it? When you've gone set for set, which sounds like you've probably did for a long time. The grind takes it out of the middle, don't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we played
Yeah.
Warrington, and then the week after we were supposed to play North Wales Crusaders at Rochdale again, but obviously where we live, always bad weather. So all the pitch got waterlogged. So the game got cancelled. I just remember, like, I was only on like a trial game. I weren't even getting paid for it, for playing,
Okay.
and I was like, oh, I'm gutted. Like, that's my second opportunity there for, like, sure, like, what I can do. And anyway, obviously, still turned up to train. The coach just said to me, like, you've impressed in that game. We're gonna just give you like a pay as you play contract. So if you play, you get your match money. If you don't play, you don't get
Yeah.
paid. And sort of went from there, really.
I'm shocked Saints didn't do that because they were able to do that. You know, when they released it, just like I know they dangled the carrot in your anyway and it went something in you, didn't it? But I'm surprised they didn't just like bring you in and then keep an eye on you, let you know, like send you back to Blackbrook without being rude. That's not the nicest phrase, but go back and play for your club, you know, if you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Because I know a couple of the lads when I was at college, who was a bit older than me, they was on like them pay as you play contracts as well. So, but yeah, this sport, like you say, everything happens for a reason, doesn't it?
It does, mate, definitely. So that AC injury, mate, does that still swell in that now? Do you still get a little?
That AC, no, I'm all good with it now,
No,
to be
good,
fair.
is it?
So I obviously from May till, and obviously you're under the NHS as well. The plate, so I had to have like a plate in my shoulder, and it hooked, plate in my collarbone, it hooked under the shoulder. So I had to have it in for about 8 to 12 weeks, but I ended up having it in for about 6 months because of the backlog on the NHS. And I remember getting it taken out, and then it was like, right, there you go, see you later. And I was like, is that it? And he was like, yeah. I went, so I can go back playing rugby. And he's like, yeah, you can go back playing rugby. I was like, no, I can't be right. And
Is
luckily
it
enough,
all rehab and nothing?
one of the lads who played at Blackbrook, he was the physio at the Saints Academy. So I messaged him and I said, look, obviously this has happened. And they said, I can go and play on. And he was like, no, come and see me and I'll sort you some rehab out. And then obviously he helped me getting back to that rehab, and then getting some strength back in it. Before I ended up
Madness, that
obviously
just
going
like
playing for
putting you loose,
Rochdale.
isn't it?
Yeah, he's mad.
Going
Imagine
on
first
holiday,
game on
having
Sat.
to say it's my shoulder. Right,
So yeah,
so
it's good.
how did that go, mate? Was that just like a license to go and express yourself at Rochdale? And with no offence to Rochdale, because they're being run really well now, but was it an opportunity to put yourself out there?
Yeah, I've put myself out there pretty much, and I just thought, like, it's a good opportunity for me to put myself in the shop window to, hopefully get that Super League contract. So I was playing, I was pretty fortunate. I think I missed three games, two through injury and one because they were dual reg with Warrington. So they brought one of the Warrington boys in that weekend to play. So obviously, as it works as well, sometimes, I got dropped for that game. But but other than that, I think, I played pretty much every game that season. And it was only towards the back end of that season, around about August time, and Ant Walker again, who got me that opportunity, he knew an agent, so he said to me, look, there's an agent here, he'll sort your contract out for next year, because I was messaging him, and I was like, man, I don't know what's happening, nothing's been said, my contract's only 12 months, like, I don't know what's going to be happening for 2019 season. And he put me in touch with this agent, met him, and like I said, he managed to sort me out two offers then, and I sort of went from there, really.
Right, so when you don't get any word, like you just said, and you're playing as well as you're playing because you're being picked, mate, let's not beat around the bush and be too modest. Where does that leave you?
So at the time, I was like, I'd still had my job, but I was sweating a little bit. I sort of not really thought about it up until he mentioned it, and he was like, he sort of mentored me a little bit, Ant Walker, because he'd been in the professional game. He knew how it worked, and he was like, "Has the club spoke to you yet, Rochdale?" Because he ended up moving away from Rochdale. I can't remember why. I think he was obviously because he was injured at the time. He just needed like
Yeah.
rest and that. So he'd show his face once every so often. But he was like, "Has the club spoke to you about coming?" I was like, "No, nothing." He was like, "They should, right? They should be speaking to you." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's how it works." So I was like, "Right." So he was sort of like showing me the rules of the professional game, like the other side, not just playing on the
The
field, but
business
like
side,
the business side. Yeah. So he was sort of like
yeah.
mentoring me in that role, and that's how he ended up putting me onto onto an agent from there.
Is that the first time you've been exposed to like the dark side of sport, mate?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Yeah.
but like I said, a good mentor from him, and like I said, he put me on the right track, really.
Yeah. Still after that 20% though, and he
Yeah,
not
he's in
getting
it
hit like when
still.
he's
Maybe
that.
one day, maybe.
Yeah. Here's a match ball. So when them offers come, mate, what sort of things have you got to think of from your perspective?
Yeah, so I had three offers. Well, I had two, Barrow and Sheffield Eagles, and then Rochdale. But the chairman came direct to me to offer me, and I just remember the Rochdale one wasn't as good as the Barrow and the Sheffield one. The Barrow and Sheffield one was exactly the same. The only difference was they have a minibus, Barrow. So they have a minibus with all like the local lads who live in and around Lancashire, and like this round our end, to travel up to Barrow. But if I played at Sheffield, I would have had to drive up myself.
Right.
So I was
One
like,
bus one, didn't
yes. So I was like,
it?
I was working out. I was working out like work, because obviously rugby came first. So I was working out, right, if I take this time off work, then I'm going to have to. I'm losing this much money. It's costing me this much in fuel. It probably works out. I'm paying more than I'm earning, and like it's never been about money. But I just wanted like to make sure, you know, I don't want to be forking out too much money just going driving up to Sheffield and back. And so the bus sort of sealed it for me, really.
Might as
And
well
then
be at
spoke to the
Blackbrook if you're
Barrow
going to be out of
coach.
pocket, mate. And it, no offense to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So it was costing me a fortune, then wear and tear on your car. And then obviously Sheffield, it's a bit of a pain, isn't it? For especially from our end to try and get to. You're talking two and a half hours, especially with traffic as well on a night. So I thought, you know what, the bus, like the lads will be driving the bus, I'd be like, there'd be a fair few of us, you know, we'll have a good laugh. And like I said, I'm not using any petrol on my car or anything like that. The buses don't have paying off it for it, really.
Yeah.
The club's all sorted the travel out. So that sort of
I
sealed
like
the deal
that,
for me,
That's a
really.
good little touch,
Yeah.
that, isn't it? Yeah.
So no, brilliant, the bus. So obviously I'd signed for Barrow for 2019 season. And then the signings kept coming then from, especially from our end. So Jake Spedding just got released from Saints. He was signed at Barrow. And then they obviously did sign Gazzoch as well. So Gazzoch had just signed up at Barrow as well. So yeah, we had a good crew. We had a good crew there in the bus.
Yeah,
So
I imagine
and
that
to
was
be honest, mate,
lively, that.
I loved every minute of it, because it reminded me just like a little bit of Open Age again, playing at Barrow, just with with all the lads in the bus. So we'd all have a laugh and that. And yeah, no, mate, it was brilliant. So that took me back to like my Open Age days, when you'd just like be out having fun and just having a laugh and that. And yeah, it sort of took me back to that. So I loved every minute of it up there at Barrow.
That's it. It's a fine line, it champ level in it, mate. Like it's like a fine hair. So like one side of it is virtually throwing. You can't be seen to be having a good time off the pitch, can you? And then just past it, you can be back like you want to be, like you're back at Brook. But good stuff. So what, any standout moments from Barra, mate, that where you felt that you could easily play above it? Again, no offense to anybody.
So it's funny this actually. So I was working in a school, like for, you know, alternative education. So I was getting, so I was working for a company who basically teach lads who get kicked, lads and girls who get kicked out of high school. So from 14 to 16 year old. So you're working with like some, they challenge you on a daily basis, really. So I was doing that as my day job, but obviously everyone knows teachers get 6 weeks off at summer, don't they? So
Yeah.
it's like it's brilliant. So I got 6 weeks off, and my agent said to me, he said, "You know, you've been playing well at Barrow, so I can get you down to Salford here." This was 2019 season when Ian Watson was in charge, and he said, "I can get you down to Salford while you're off work for 6 weeks, and you can do like full time training with them, but you're gonna have to train at Barrow as well on a night." So I was like, Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. You know, just
Oh,
turn
mate.
up," he said. So I was like, "Yeah, definitely." So he said, "I can get you down and get you like put yourself in shop window, really." So I just went down there, like a bit of like a training trial, really. Just went in training. So pretty much they was in season, so you don't train as much in season. So I was doing like 2 or 3 days there, but I remember did overlap with like Barrow training on a Tuesday, Thursday. So it'd be literally
Right.
train at Salford, you do your field, you do your weights, and then you'd like obviously sit back and watch him doing the video for the preparing for the game in the week, and then I'd go and train. I'd get home quickly, have some tea, and then I'd be going training at Barrow on a Tuesday, Thursday night. Also, it's like doing double training days, but
On a day off.
obviously, yeah, on like we're supposed to be 6 weeks
Yeah.
off this, but yeah. So I remember just training there for 6 weeks, just full time training, but obviously training at Barrow as well on the nights. So yeah, that was an experience. I finally got like a bit of a taste of like this is what it looks like at full time. And I noticed like in the games, just from training that full time, like physically, obviously because you're doing the weights, the program, like physically I'm feeling fitter and stronger. Mentally as well, I'm training with like full time lads at Super League level and then coming to Championship and like just standing out that little bit more. Or just maybe like identifying things that I probably wouldn't if I was just like part time. So I had like a little taste of full time for 6 weeks. And then Ian Watson just sat me down and said, "Look, I'd say like just go and have another year at Championship. At the moment," he said, "obviously playing budget's tight here. We can't really offer anyone a contract." So I was like, "Yeah," I said, "I won't really expect anything anyway. Just grateful for the opportunity." And obviously went back to Barrow and finished off the last couple of games there before the season finished in September.
And how things work out, mate, innit? It
It's crazy, mate. It's crazy. Yeah, because the only player who was
nuts.
there was Ken Seal. Ken Seal's obviously still at Salford now, but he was there at Salford in 2019. So obviously they went on that good run to the grand final that year as well. Yeah. So
Yeah,
yeah,
so like
mad.
Lawton had have been there as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, Lorts was
Yeah.
there. Lorts was there, yeah. So I'm sure I phoned in sick a few times, actually.
No, it. So, do you know when you sat there, mate, without realizing it, looking back now, because I'm chewing your ear off and that, do you think you were learning drastically? Sit I in video review and just a little bits what like pros do that semi-pro lads don't do.
Yeah, definitely. And just obviously, I like, just watching him because like, I was just sat there and just watching like how they works because Jackson Hastings was there at the time and just like watching how they prepare, watch how they train, and so things like just when you're coming in, just like doing your stretches, like mobility, getting there a little bit earlier to training, doing like your mobility and your stretches just to make sure like mentally and physically prepared, ready for the session. Were sort of when you're at part time, it's like you rock up after you finish work, chuck your bag at the side, and then it's like put your boots on, you're straight out on the field. So just watching what they was doing, and that's what I sort of tried to take in when I signed at Widnes then. It's closer to home. I'm not getting off the bus, like 2 hour bus journey. I'm close to home, so I can get in a little bit early, and that's when I started like progressing my career. Then I think noticing a lot, you know, a big difference.
Imagine it stood out like a sore thumb at Barrow, like the little extras. Yeah, in a pro
Yeah.
club, it's like it's expected, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
Yeah. So it's who's the agent? Is it Petey?
No, it was Graham Taylor.
Oh right, yeah. Lawton mentioned him, is it? Yeah. So when you're in them chats, mate, is it daunting? Like from contract talks and that. Do you have to play like the poker face and look like you're going to be hard faced and that, but you walk out like ready for the toilet
Well,
and
that's the good thing about having like the agent on that side of it is
that?
He just do everything, and he'll just ask them tough questions. You know, if you feel, oh, I feel a bit cheeky asking for that, or I feel a bit cheeky asking for an extra year on me contract, that. But he'll just do all them tough, like ask them tough
Yes.
questions. So, and then it's just basically, I just focus on me playing and just trust them to do their bit. And like I
Oh,
said,
I go in asking for 100K and come out with
yeah.
wine gums, mate. Signed a 10-year deal for a packet of wine gums.
You have to pay your subs now.
Yeah.
So
No,
yeah, so
because
that, yeah,
it's
it's mad.
the dark arts, mate, isn't it? It's the dark
Yeah.
arts that.
Yeah, it is definitely. And then like I said, Widnes came calling then at the end of the 2019 season.
How was that, mate? Because
Yeah,
we seem
it
to think we're
was
still world champs and that, don't we? We're a big
mental.
club still, though, aren't we? But
Yeah.
yeah.
So I remember getting a call off Kieran Pathill at the time, and my agent sent me his number and said he's going to give you a call. He just wants a quick chat with you. So I said, yeah, no worries. So I had a chat with him on the phone, and he was like, no, I've been impressed with you in 2019 season. Like, we're going to part time next year, so we're transitioning from full time to part time. We want to build like a solid championship squad, and we want you to come on board. So I remember at the time, like Widnes, I was like, massive club, which they are off like the rich heritage of the club and that, and the history they've had. And I thought, yeah, that one club I definitely want to sign for. I definitely want to sign for Widnes. Like, I'd love like one player for them. And like me granddad and that now, and my dad were like, God, Widnes are a big club, like all this, like they've won and like massive club. And I was like, I love all that history behind like the clubs and stuff. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to play at Widnes, just like the history and the stadium. So yeah, so I signed there thinking play under Kieran Pertil. And then I remember signing, and then I didn't hear anything for about 8 weeks, and I was like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, you see on social media, Kieran Pertil leaves his head coach's role at Widnes Vikings. I was like,
Yeah.
oh my God, what's going on here?
But
I was like, what's going on?
that couldn't have put you in trouble, that surely, could it? Because you'd signed, hadn't you?
Well, yeah, so I'd signed and I
Yeah.
was like, what's going on? I'd heard nothing from like anyone. I didn't know any of the
Anybody.
lads at Widnes, so I couldn't even message them and go, hey, what's going on here? I'd literally didn't know anyone. I was like, God. And then I remember just got added into one of the WhatsApp groups, and then next minute they announced on social media Tim Sheens has become the head coach at Widnes. So I was like, oh, that's mad. How mad's that?
I know it was mad, what it is, it was a
Yeah,
strange
crazy.
sort of, yeah. So really, you had a bit of a on the field, mate, unbelievable for the club, weren't you? But off the field again is you being shown the nasty side of the business side of the sport, aren't you?
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
like I said, from Kieran leaving, but he went to Hull FC, didn't he? I think to become like the
Yeah.
assistant coach up there. So, like I said, it was all up in the air, and you start thinking, well, this coach has signed me because obviously he likes me. What if this coach don't like me, and I've got to go in now, like extra impressed, like be doing everything I can just to get picked because I'm not one of his players who he signed it. He might have favoured me more if he'd signed me, but you just got to go in there and you just got to work twice as hard then.
Yeah. But if Karen wants me to go to Hull, I will.
Yeah, cuts me be full time, but I think I'll move. Yeah.
I'll have a think about it, mate. Yeah. So I get, but with you not knowing anyone, mate, how was it coming?
So yeah, I remember the first session. We came in and he did his chat and stuff and like what he expects of us and Tim Sheens, but just going in and just meeting the lads straight away, and like pretty much Widnes kept like most of the lads, like Danny Craven, Jack Owens, Chaplow twins, like the McGrath, Lulawhite. They still had all them a core from the finger the year before, so they were all friendly. So like me coming in, but we had about seven or eight other new lads coming in as well. So they was in the same boat. Jake Spedding had come in from Barrow, so I knew him straight away. So like me and him chatting, but yeah, so everyone took us in with open arms, really. And like I said, we had a great bunch of lads at Widnes in 2020. It was brilliant.
And so your spell, mate, what did you enjoy most? Any standout moments?
Probably Probably the training, like pre-season training. We never used to do like any running, no contact, no wrestling. It was just literally balling and passing, all skills and things. Sheens would be like, "Yeah, we're gonna pick it up next week," and we was like, "Week next week would come," and it'd be like, "I thought he said he was picking it up." It was like in-season training. Like none of us broke sweat. But then when the
Happy
season,
days.
all boys up in their hands, they're like, "What's going on here? Surely we must be getting flogged next week." But no, nothing, nothing. It was just all about skills, ball in hand. And then obviously in 2020, like we felt fresh, but like our skill was class, like on point. And I think that's what took me up to that next level then, just like the skill, passing front, catching pass, just all like them little things. So it's like the core basics. Like never underestimate like how important they are. Like you might see all them doing the flip passes and all the fancy stuff, but like just basically just having the ball out in front of you, and he just made a big emphasis on like nailing your skills. And it's pretty similar with Paul Rowley now at Salford. He's exactly the same, just nailing them basic skills, passing off the floor, catching pass, all that stuff. So yeah, it's a really important.
Would you like the or do you not like the black pitch?
Oh yeah, Bingy. I remember training on it the first time, and I was like, "God, it's your back and your hamstrings, your calf, everything." You're like getting up next day for work, and you're like, feel like you've played on car park. That's it's like
It's a wicked
running on
bounce as
concrete,
well, though,
isn't
isn't
it?
it?
Yeah, it is,
Yeah,
isn't it? It is.
it is a wicked bounce.
Yeah, so that took me a few, like pretty much all of pre-season for my body to get used to, and then when you're playing on it, your knees are getting cut, and then. That's it. Then you just start healing over, and then Sunday comes, and then that's it. Then scabs are off again.
That's it. You can't complain while you're playing either, mate. They'll get
Yeah.
ripped on Twitter and
No,
that, won't
no.
you?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, lads. I love it.
But yeah, no,
So,
fast
like,
track. It was a fast track. It's good.
yeah, suits you fast, lads, mate. That's what it does.
Yeah, it does. It
Not
suits the
me.
backs.
So, do you know when? Because you did really kick on, mate. I can only speak through seeing you more often in a witness jersey, and your game did take off. Was other than obviously because of COVID and that, did you feel you were on the right path to play a Super League?
Yeah, so I felt like I'd, in the off season before we started pre-season, like I was just making sure training the house down because I knew I had to impress Tim Sheens and get a new coach coming in. Then pre-season, I had a good pre-season. And then at the start of the season, I remember going, so I think scoring the try every game. We had 7 games and scored a try in all 6 or 7 games we played. So I was like on a good run here and getting picked for like team of the month and stuff at Championship. So I felt like I was on the right track, and my agent was saying, like, you keep going like this, and definitely clubs are taking notice now here from Super League. And then obviously COVID hit with a pandemic. So that was it then. Pretty much the season got finished, didn't it? Burr and Ben for Championship part-time clubs. So that was gutting, but there was always talk of like a competition in October. So I always kept training through COVID.
Just in
And then just
case, like,
obviously, yeah,
yeah.
just waiting just in case because it could be like a text message, right? We've got a game in 2 weeks. So just always made sure I was ready.
Maybe that little introduction and that window you had at Salford, mate, inadvertently done you the world of good
Yeah.
because it showed you can more than compete at champ level. Because play getting in teams in a month and that, mate, it's no mean feat. It's consistency. That's exactly what
Yeah.
that is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah. So then obviously we
So,
didn't end up playing rest of 2020 and then moved on to
yeah.
2021 season when Si Finney came in.
Yeah. And how was that, mate? Because again, it's like, seems to be a culture year. Like, there's never
Yeah.
really been that much stability, has there?
No. So it's pretty much same again. It's like, right, fresh slate for everyone here. No one, like the coach doesn't prefer this player over that player. Everyone's on like the same level again now. It don't matter what you did last year. It's all
Yeah.
about like that fresh slate again now and starting afresh and same again, just train the house down and just make sure you do everything you can to get that starting shirt. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to play every game that year on the wing in 2021. And yeah, we had a decent, I felt like personally I had a good season again, and I think my confidence grew as well from obviously the year before. And we had a good team as well at the time. So like I say, getting plenty of ball off them, and scoring plenty of tries as well, which helps.
Imagine a lot of offers comes on the back of that, mate. So the decision comes and it's Salford, isn't it? Was the options there for you, mate?
Also, believe it or not, I never had any other option. Nothing at all. I just remember my agent at the time, which was Graham Taylor, and he was saying, he said, I've been asking clubs, and clubs were just like, they were like unsure, humming and ah, and he wouldn't really say which clubs, but he was just like, there's clubs out there, and he said, they're not sure yet. He said, they'll let me know. And then it was just Salford just came about, and then I just ended up signing it just like the day before my birthday as well. It was in
Happy days.
2021, and just yeah, it was mad. So I remember, I was like, right, definitely. And to be fair, obviously, lads will know from Championship, you're earning a full-time wage at work, and you're earning like all right money, decent money at Championship. You can be bringing in some decent money each month. And I remember taking a massive pay cut from two jobs just to go and play for Salford. Just but
Shows
I just
commitment
wanted that
though, Dion, done
chance.
it? That
Yeah, I mean,
opportunity,
to
yeah.
be honest, I'm fortunate enough. Like, still live at home with parents at the moment. But I was fortunate enough. Like, I was in that position to still live at home with parents, because that's probably got me chance. So I took sort of that step back in pay just to make, like, it's what I wanted to do. It's all I wanted to do, really, and sort of grasp that opportunity with both hands.
And you definitely have, mate. I can't have imagined when you were sat there talking with, I imagine it was Bleasey, was it? Or was it Dink, Mr.
Yeah,
King?
Bleasy, yeah.
So I can't imagine when you were sat down with Bleasey, mate, you were thinking, I'm going to go and play for Salford regularly. I'm going to nail the
Yeah.
centre down.
Yeah.
Be called up to the Knights. I'm going to get
Yeah.
rewarded. You've had a new deal, mate, haven't you?
Yeah, another 2 years,
I
yeah.
can't imagine all these were
It's mad.
like circled.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, it's crazy. I remember obviously Bleasing. Richard Marshall was the coach at the time. So you can see a pattern here. Every club I sign for, the coach seems get sacked, or he just ends up leaving and going somewhere else. So it's not a good look. But yeah, so I remember obviously speaking to Bleasey. He sold the club to me. They said like they were really keen on bringing me, and I remember asking him like, where did he see me? And they just said like, look, get your head down in pre-season, see what happens. And then obviously Richard Marshall ended up leaving the club, and Paul Rowley coming again. So it's like, right, you're on a fresh slate again, So yeah,
At least you didn't read this time, mate.
yeah, yeah. So yeah, so coming in that first day of pre-season, I remember, like pretty much, I think I finished work a couple of weeks early as well before we started pre-season, because I thought I just want like a good few weeks here now, just doing everything I can for training. So just like pretty much trying to train full time for 3 or 4 weeks before we actually went into pre-season. So rather than like finishing work on the Friday, then starting Salford on the Monday, I took a few week off work, just to make sure my body was right for it. So yeah, pretty
Be
yeah, it was,
semi-conditioned sort of thing.
yeah, because I knew it was going to be a massive step up, yeah.
Right, and when the Knights does come along, mate, how does that work? And
Yeah,
are
it
you
was
going
pretty
by the
crazy to be
paper and getting
honest.
the
It
cutout?
was pretty crazy to be honest. I remember Rolls, we just beat Huddersfield in that quarter final of the Super League, in the playoffs, and like everyone was buzzing, like, yeah, we're going to the semi-final next week, playing Saints, and like 80 minutes away from Old Trafford, everyone was buzzing. And we just all sat in the changing room. We'd literally just got in, and Rolls did his chat, and then he said, oh, I had a phone call off Paul Anderson last night. They've included Dion in the England Knights squad, and I was like, what? Didn't believe him. I was like, he take it piss here, because he likes having a joke with me and that. And I was like, he's taking the piss here. And he's like, no, be serious. He called me last night, but I didn't want to tell you before the game. So I was like, right, okay, fair enough. So yeah, that's how it came around.
It's just some journey, mate, isn't it? It's like
Yeah, it's
it's
crazy, really.
unorthodox, but it's special, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad, really.
Right, and I appreciate everything's going well, mate. The season's coming up. Personal ambitions for for this new season?
I think personal ambitions for me is just to, make sure I keep nailing down, try and nail that starting shirt again for 2024. And hopefully, I can kick on from the night and hopefully get put myself in the shop windows for maybe a chance of that England first team squad if possible. Because, that's the next step up from knights to first team. So I know a couple of the boys have done that, like Mikey Lewis and Tyler Dupree and that, who played at knights with me. And like I said, they've done really well for the England first team in the games they played. So hopefully I can take that step up with them as well. And I think the other one's obviously to go on and, we'll win some silverware with Salford next year if possible.
Oh man, and I know I see Kurt stuff, Kurt Ag, a
Yeah.
lot of his coaching academy and that, mate. How have you found that going? And I imagine it's a little bit of giving back because kids do look up to you guys, don't they? And the journey
Yeah.
you've been on, you probably appreciate that a bit more, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I've enjoyed it when Kurt's invited me down, and he's got a few of the older boys now who've started getting scholarships. Like your 13, 14-year-olds. So sometimes, I don't know if he brings me down, maybe just to say like he's an example of look what happens if you don't get a scholarship or if you do get released. Or he said like you've still got all that time to, keep progressing, keep working on your game, and keep being in that shop window, because like I say, you never know who's watching really, do you? Scouts coming down watching games, and like a lot more games videoed now so they can look at the tape back. So yeah, so no, it's good. Just being that role model to him really. Everyone's not on that journey where it's smooth, where a scholarship academy first team, there's other ways of going around it. And like I said, not just me, but quite a few other lads in Super League are an example as well, like Matty Ashton and that. He's obviously never had a scholarship and that. And he's just, played at Swinton and then got picked for Warrington. And obviously he's in the England first team squad now. So, not everyone has that smooth journey going through the ranks and playing first team.
It's important for kids to know, mate, isn't it? It's not the be
Yeah.
all and end all, like you said, getting that scholarship. It's if you work hard and you want it enough, mate, and you sacrifice like you have, because you do sacrifice
Yeah.
a lot, it can still happen, can't it, dude?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And like I say, if you're willing enough to make them sacrifices, like they've not going out with my mates on a Saturday night, because I had a game on a Sunday. So I could have easily gone out on a Saturday and then gone and played on a Sunday, but probably wouldn't have played as well. Probably
Oh,
would have been
that's
a bit
it, mate. It's
hungover. So sacrifices like
yeah.
that, or even taking a few weeks off work just so you can get yourself ready. So I'm sacrificing obviously that
That's it.
pay just to get myself ready. But yeah, like I say, fortunate enough, it has paid off for me. So hopefully I can just, keep kicking on.
Nice, mate. A few daft questions for you before I let you go.
Yeah.
Right, so any pre-match superstitions?
Probably not, maybe not before the game, but I reckon, or actually before the game, always have a bag of them squashy sweets. Always before the game. And all the lads are like, God, you love them sweets, you don't you? I'm like, gotta have them. I've had them since I was at Barra, I think, or Widnes every
Yeah,
game. So all the lads are coming over, pinching sweets off you.
I've got it.
I
Got none of your gobs out here.
know, yeah.
The toughest player you played with and against, mate, and the definition of tough is different for everybody, so it's however you
Yeah.
see it, Dion.
Toughest player. Trying to think back here. Played with a few tough ones. I remember Martin Aspinall, I'd say from Barrow, he was pretty tough. I remember Harrison Hanson when he was at with Barrow played Widnes, and he ended up, I think he whacked him that hard, he'd torn his tear duct in his eye and he carried on playing. So literally half his eye's hanging out the tear duct there, and he's hanging out and he's carrying on playing. I was like, mate, you something else. And he's about
Beast
37 at
in
the
the
time as
itch.
well.
He's a beast, itch, mate.
Yeah.
I had him on, and just like some of the injuries he's had and that, it's
Yeah.
mad.
Yeah, crazy. Can't believe he's still playing.
I know. I'm well and all. Your favourite away ground, Dion?
Oh, favourite away ground. I'd probably say I enjoy playing at Wigan. Actually, I enjoy it, especially on a Friday night playing at Wigan. Good track. Fans are always loud as well when they're winning. But fans are always loud, and so I enjoy playing there, to be honest. Good stadium.
You've done well there as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've always given them a game, to be
Yeah.
fair, when we played there. And I think me personally, like I feel like, like I enjoy playing there for some reason. So no, it's good.
So, man, what would you tell a younger Dion if you could go back, mate?
Younger Dion, probably just believe in yourself. Just keep believing in yourself. Keep backing yourself.
Like it, mate. So, you know, with the lads, you've had a few. The microphone ends up in your hand. You're on the big stage with the light on you. What are you giving us?
Right, Penny Arcade, Roy Orbison.
Yeah. Fair play, mate. Is it, you can get up and blast it out, get people involved.
Yeah, get it on
Yeah,
it in Ice Bar in St. Helens. Get it on
mate.
it, Weech Youth.
If you're willing to, because we appreciate you still in the middle of your career, mate. A 1 to 13 that you've played with so far.
1 to 13, like I said, probably a lot of them's going to be Salford. I think we're like Ryan Brearley, one, he's had like a brilliant season this year.
Yeah.
Ken Seor, number two. I'd probably put, don't know, Cal Watkins in the centre, number three, obviously from back in his day. I know he's playing back row now, but still brilliant. But yeah, pretty much these are all going to be Salford, I reckon,
Well, that's
because
fine, mate. It is what it is, isn't it?
yeah, four Tim Laffey, five Joe Burgess, six Brody Croft, and then seven I'd probably go for Matty Smith from when I was playing with him at
Yeah.
Widnes. Eight, for number eight, it'd be tough on the McGrath-Lulawhite. I'd go for Widnes, mix it up a little bit. Number nine, Andy Akers, but also play with Logan Tompkins as well. He was good at Widnes. Really good, Logan. I remember, I think he got man of match every game we played in 2020. Number 10. I'd probably go for number 10. Number 10. Tough one again. I'm trying to think. There's too many props. Loads of props knocking about. I'll come back to you in number 10 in a minute. I think I'd go number
No worries.
11. You want to go for number 11? I'd go for Kenny Baker when he played at. Oh, in fact, Shane Grady, I'd go for number 11,
Yeah.
a grenade.
Yeah.
Number 12 would be. Trying to think. I'd probably go for Kenny Baker, number 12, because he set me up for a few tries actually at Widnes.
Yeah.
And then I'd
He
probably
had a
go
good spell at
third.
Widnes, Kenny, didn't he?
Yeah, he played really well. He's silky as well. Like, he's got
Yeah.
good skill. Like, when he
Yeah.
started moving more into the middle when I was speaking to him, Swinton, but I was like, he should be playing like back row or 13, because like the ball movement he's got,
Yeah.
like I say, cause a bit of trouble with teams. And then I'd probably go 13. I'd probably go for, it'd be 13 now. I'd probably go with Elijah Taylor. So I just
Thank you
need a
very
prop,
much,
don't
mate.
I?
Yeah.
Struggling to think of a prop. Can't think who else.
Do you know who I think stands out a fair bit because he's probably like a bit underrated by people other than Salford fans is King, innit? He can
Yeah,
carry
Kinga.
King, can't he?
Yeah, he's
Yeah.
so big that he's an athlete as well. He's a joke, really.
Yeah,
I'd
he
put
is.
him down actually because he's had a good season.
You've been listening to Trot the Egging. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEgging and Instagram @Trot_the_Egg_Inn.